Arupam lasat kundalam gokule prajamanam Yasoda biyolukala davamanam Haram risham hatyanta todrutya gopya
Yasoda biyolukala davamanam Haram risham hatyanta todrutya gopya
Rudantam mohonetra yugmam rijantam Karam bhoja yugmena satanka netram Swasakam patri re anka kanta Sita graevam damodaram bhakti badam Titrik svadila bhir ananda kunde Swagosham himachantam akhyapayantam Adiye shita keshu bhakta jitatvam Una prematastam satta vritti bande
Adiye shita keshu bhakta jitatvam Una prematastam satta vritti bande
Varam de Deva moksham na mokshavadim va Nakshandhyam praneham vareshadapiha
Varam deva moksham na mokshavadim va
Idam deva purnatha gopala balam Sadame manasya virastam gimanyai
Idam deva purnatha gopala balam Sadame manasya virastam gimanyai
Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta nilaya Vritam kuntalai snigda rakthaischa gopya
Vritam te kuntam bhojam atyanta nilaya Vritam kuntalai snigda rakthaischa gopya
Mohos chumbitam bimba rakta dharame Manasya virastam malam lakshalabhai
Mohoshyokritam bimbarakadharamne Manasya virastam malam lakshalabhai
Namo devadamodar ananta vishno Prasida prabhodukha Chalda bimagnam
Namo deva namo dharananda vishno Prasita prabhodukha chalda bimagnam
कृपा दृष्टि विस्त्याति दीनं बतानु गृहाणि शमामाज्ञां हे यक्षि दृश्या भुवेरात्मजो बाधा मुद्याय भयाद्वार त्वयामुचि तो भक्ति भाजो धृतोच्छा प्रेम भक्तिम स्वखं मे प्रयाच्छा न मोक्षे प्रहो मे स्ति दामोदरे नमस्ते स्तुतां निःस्फुरदीप्तितां मे त्वदीयोदरायत्ता विश्वस्य धाम्ने नमो राधिकायाय त्वदीया प्रियाय नमो नन्दलीलाय देवाय तुभ्यम् नमामीश्वरं सच्चित् आनन्दरूपं लसत्कुन्ददां गोकुले व्रजमानम् यशोदा वियोलुकालाथवमानम् धरं हृष्टमाच्यन्त कोदृत्य गोप्या हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरि 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 राम 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 हरि हरि कृष्ण कृष्ण हरि हरि Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari, Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Dhamodara, Radha Dhamodara, Radhe. Radha Dhamodara, Radha Dhamodara, Radhe. Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe
Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe
Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe
Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe
Je Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe
Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe
Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe
Radha Rasbihari Radha Rasbihari Radhe
Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad.
Our dear Brajahari Prabhu has directed me to speak on the Damodar Lila from the very beginning of the class. As his aspiring servant, I will make my sincere effort to try to please you. Thank you very much. Today, in our ISKCON Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, we begin the observance of Kartik Mas, the month of Damodar. On this most auspicious month, which is declared by our acharyas to be the month of Srimati Radharani, the month which is most abundant with devotion. Therefore, devotees who practice the path of bhakti very carefully with vows in this month of Kartik gain tremendous grace of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. During the month of Kartik, Krishna has performed so many of his most wonderful pastimes. There is the pastime that we are celebrating this evening of Sarat Purnima, where Lord Sri Krishna, desiring to please the hearts of his supreme devotees, gopis, plays upon his flute under Bamsi Bat on bank of Jamuna to call them, in so revealing to the entire world the unprecedented, unconditional love in a spirit of complete surrender that is cherished by the hearts of the Braj Gopis. The commencement of Ras Lila takes place on this very full moon night. There is also the very grand festival of Sri Govardhan Puja, wherein Lord Sri Krishna curbed the heart of his devotee, Indra. Krishna declared it through Arjuna's mouth, Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati, that my devotee will never perish. That is a very deep subject. Krishna is not only speaking about the material physical body, that you will not die, because the physical body perishes sooner or later. Whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, the body will perish. Krishna is speaking on a spiritual platform especially. that he's always there to protect his devotee. Whether we are willing to accept his protection, that is our own free will. Indra, we could say karma mishra bhakta. He's a devotee, but still has desire for wealth, power, and prestige. But he wants to dovetail those tendencies by using them to serve Lord Krishna. When Krishna shows his mercy, Prabhupada explains, he gives you what you like. But when he wants to give you installment of his great mercy, he takes everything away. So that devotee realizes his complete dependent position on the mercy of the Lord. So Indra was completely humiliated by this little talkative 7-year-old boy. Can you imagine the king of heaven? He sent his most powerful army of Samvartaka clouds, and everyone was watching. The demigods were watching, his wife was watching, Sachi Devi. All of his court ministers and subjects were watching. Krishna made him appear like a helpless, impotent fool in front of all. But he will. In this way he protected Indra from being conquered by an enemy much worse than death, the enemy of false pride. Because the enemy of false pride kills the spirit of devotion, which is the life of the soul. This glorious occasion when all the Brajabasis were under Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, for 7 days and 7 nights, and Krishna was reciprocating the intimate loving exchanges that every devotee was longing for. Continuously. Glorious festival. It is also the time of Gopastami. The first day Krishna is given charge of cows from Nandagaon. He sent out to pasture. And there was a big, big festival throughout Braj Bhumi when Krishna was given this special service. During the month of Kartik is also, by Krishna's own personal arrangement, the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the time of the year when we most reflect and deeply contemplate the life, the teachings, and the unparalleled compassion that Srila Prabhupada extended to save our lives. It is a day of cultivating feelings of genuine separation in service to Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared service and separation is highly purifying and most dear to Lord Krishna. Month of Kartik is also the festival of Deepavali, the festival of lights. And on this particular day, that glorious Leela of Sri Damodar, Krishna being bound with the rope of the love of Yashoda, was enacted. It is this particular pastime, in this most auspicious first day of Kartik, that Brajhari Prabhu has directed me to speak. Thank you. Krishna and Balaram as small children in Gokul, Mahavan. They performed the Leela of appearing so helpless. They did not even know how to talk or even walk. They gradually learned broken words, which gave such satisfaction to the gopis and gopas, especially Nanda and Yashoda. They would crawl. When Krishna Balaram would crawl, they would appear like serpents, crawling through the mud, mixed with the cow dung and urine of Sri Braj. Sometimes they'd crawl thinking a gopi was their mother, Rohini and Yashoda. And they would crawl and they would crawl and they were so eager to reach their mothers. Then the gopi would turn around and they would see it's not their mother. So they would become very much afraid and crawl in the other direction very, very fast and find Yashoda and Rohini, who would pick them up and embrace them, give them protection and shelter. Sometimes they would grab the tail of calf and the calf would become afraid and run. They would hold on, dragging through the cow dung, cow urine, and dust of Braj. As all gopis would laugh, seeing this beautiful, beautiful scene. And Yashoda and Rohini would pick up Krishna Balaram and embrace them, and feed them the milk from their breast, the milk of their motherly love. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. Krishna is not so concerned with the thing that you offer. What pleases his heart is the purpose in which it is offered. Milk. What does Krishna need milk? In one of his expansions, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, he's laying in an ocean of milk. He has no shortage of milk. And that ocean of milk is far bigger than this entire planet Earth. It's huge. And in Braj Bhumi, Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows. And that's when he appears in this world. And in the spiritual world of Goloka, there's unlimited cows. We read from Brahma Samhita that each of these unlimited cows are Surabhi. The special quality of Surabhi cow is their milk tastes like nectar. And they give unlimited quantities. However much you want, they will give. So what does Krishna need milk? Why is he hungry? Why does he cry? Such a wonderful philosophical conception to ponder upon. The Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Atmarama, perfect and complete, is literally crying with genuine tears in hunger for the milk of Yashoda. Because Yashoda offers that milk in pure, unconditional, motherly love. And Krishna hungers for that love. He hungers for nothing else. He is the proprietor of everything that exists. But he is Rasaraj. He finds the greatest satisfaction. His only purpose in the spiritual life is simply to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. as Krishna Balaram became a little older, they began to walk. And just after learning walking, they began their pastime of stealing butter. This was the greatest joy to all Brajbasis. Srila Prabhupada explains so nicely in Krishna book, summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, how gopis would come to complain to Yashoda Mayi about Krishna's naughty behavior. And Krishna would be there listening, but he would look so innocent, as if, "Mother, how could you believe what they're saying? You know me." So innocent, as they would complain. But actually, their complaining is like our singing bhajans and kirtans. They weren't really complaining. They were actually glorifying. Because a devotee wants to share their love through their words, through their acts. So they were actually simply expressing their inconceivable love for Krishna through complaints. This is the special feature of Vrindavan. They are not seeing Krishna as God. They know that he's God. But they've surpassed that level of realization. The intensity of their love simply does not permit them to acknowledge that realization, because it interferes with the intimacy of their service to the Lord. So one gopi told Yashoda Mayi that every day our husbands, they take cows out, bring them to pastures, especially so that they will be well fed to give milk. But early in the morning, before the milking of the cows, Krishna and Balaram and their friends, they release, untie all of the small calves. And the calves go and drink all the milk from the mother. And when our husbands come home with empty buckets, there's no milk. But that's not the only mischief he does. We keep our butter and our yogurt in our house, and Krishna will come into the house and break the pots and steal the butter and yogurt. And if we want to somehow or other keep it out of his reach, we hang it from rafters in the ceiling. But then they pile up boxes and get up on each other's shoulders. And if it's still not high enough, they'll get on boxes on top of shoulders and then with a stick poke hole in the pot and the butter falls down. Then not only will Krishna be in our house eating butter with his friends, but he will call all the monkeys of neighborhood and he will personally with his own hand distribute it to monkeys. And after all the monkeys and all the gopas are fully satisfied, then Krishna will take the butter and throw it on the floor and say, "This butter is so useless, even the monkeys will not eat it." He does this every day. We cannot stop him. When we try to catch him, he runs so fast. And when we catch him, sometimes our husbands will catch and Krishna will fall at their feet with folded hands and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Don't tell my mother, I will not do it again." Or other times we catch him. We say, "You are a thief." He said, "No, you are a thief." Every day he is doing. Sometimes we hide butter very, very carefully. And if he does not find it, then he creates even more mischief. He will go to our sleeping babies and pinch them and make them cry. Or he will pass urine on our floor. And even when it's very, very dark, it seems that the jewels that he wears illuminates the room so they could find the butter. Yashoda Mayi said, "Then I will take off his jewels." They said, "No, no, 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 please do not take off jewels. No use." Because these boys give such an effulgent light, it seems that they light up the rooms. In this way, gopis were enjoying complaining very much. And Krishna would be so innocently looking at the face of Yashoda, "Don't believe them. Why would I do something like that?" So this butter thief, Makkan Chor, was Krishna's a very primary pastime of his Komar Leela. It is explained how one time Krishna was stealing butter right out of a pot. And he turned and saw in Nanda Maharaj's house there was a jeweled pillar. He saw the reflection of his own body in the jeweled pillar. And Krishna thought it was somebody watching him. So he spoke, very frightened, spoke to that reflection and said, "My dear brother, please do not tell my mother what I am doing. If you keep this a secret, I promise you I will share this nice butter with you and you will enjoy it very much." But Yashoda Mayi, in a hidden place, was listening to everything. She was smiling. And she came out. And as soon as she came out, Krishna pointed to the reflection, said, "I did not steal any butter. I am not greedy for butter. It's him, this person. He stole the butter. Look at the mess he has created. When he came, I chastised him. I told him, 'This is my mother's butter. You cannot steal this butter.' But he did it anyway. He would not listen to my order. So I became very angry. He did it. But you know me, mother. I'm not greedy for butter." On another time, Yashoda Mayi was outside with her friends, and she happened to hear something in her house, and she came in very quietly, and there was Krishna with his hand in butter pot. So Yashoda Mayi caught him with hand in pot. So how is he going to try to get out of this one? Krishna is the source of all intelligence. He said, "Mata, you put bangles on me with rubies, and it caused so much heat. My hand was burning due to these hot ruby bangles that you put on me. So just to relieve the unbearable pain, I stuck my hand in this butter pot." And Yashoda Mayi was so, her heart was so melted by his cleverness that she took his hand and kissed it all over, just kissed all over his hand with motherly affection, and took off the ruby bangles and said, "Oh, look, look, Gopal, your hand really is burnt. I will take off these bangles. It's very good what you have done." In this way, it was a daily affair. So on the day of Deepavali, the gopas, they were busy arranging for their Indra Puja. And Yashoda Mayi, being the festival of lights, wanted to make a special offering to her beloved son, Gopal. So that day, she asked the assistants in her house to perform other chores. And early in the morning, she decided to personally churn the yogurt to make butter for Krishna. But this was not ordinary yogurt. Yashoda Mai had a special herd of cows. Out of 900,000 cows, there was only about 8 that were called Padmaganda, because their milk was sweet and fragrant like a lotus flower. The reason was, is Yashoda Mai, she grew very, very special grasses. These grasses were so delicious, so sweet, and so fragrant. The Padmaganda cows only ate those grasses. And she wanted to put all of her love and all of her affection in the process of churning. Why? Because she was thinking that Krishna is so dissatisfied with the butter of our house, he goes out and steals from other houses. But if he's satisfied with the butter that I prepare for him, then he will not have to go elsewhere and create so much difficulty. Actually, Krishna was not creating difficulty. The difficulty Krishna was creating by stealing butter was the very life and soul of gopis. In fact, the only reason they made butter was with the hope and the prayer that Gopal will come to steal it. That was their life, their soul, that Krishna will come to steal my butter. And similarly, when our heart becomes soft like butter, then Lord Hari will steal our hearts, as he stole the heart of gopis. So really, the practice of sadhana bhakti is churning our hard hearts, churning and getting the toxins, the material desires, lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. These anarthas, unwanted elements, create hard-heartedness, lust, anger. When lust is unfulfilled, we become full of anger. When we have these passions, inevitably we become envious. Envious of others who have more than us, who could do more than us. Ultimately, envy to any living being is indirectly envy toward Krishna. Krishna is the source of all wealth. He's the proprietor of everything. He's the intelligence of the intelligent. He's the ability in man. He's the strength of the strong. Whatever qualities anybody has, it's a small reflection of Krishna, of his opulence. He's the source of all beauty. So when we envy any part and parcel, we are actually envying Krishna. And we see how envy can spoil and make the heart so hard. And then there is greed, insatiable. However much we have, we can never get enough, because the soul is looking for the love of Krishna. And everyone in this world is trying to substitute the pleasure of that love of Krishna with temporal objects of satisfaction. But it never works. We can never be satisfied with any substitute. The soul is looking for an ocean. The Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu, the ocean of loving mellows with the Lord, the all-attractive one. But so unfortunate. Even Lord Brahma, the the most he could find is a tiny little drop of satisfaction. What to speak of us? So greed and false pride. The very foundational basis of all anarthas is this false pride. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to be respected. We want to be honored. We want to control. And sometimes we even think this is a symptom of spiritual advancement. But spiritual advancement, from Krishna's point of view, is determined by humility. Trinadapi sunichina taror iba sehishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Krishna is pleased with our humility. Whether we're emperors or whether we're sweepers of the street, that is of no concern to Krishna. But are we humble? Amanina manadena, are we giving respect to others? Are we like a tree, eager to forgive and tolerate? Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, when he talks about tolerance, he usually speaks the quality of tolerance of forgiveness. Thakur Haridas, he is the embodiment or the personification of tolerance. Why? Because even though he was being brutally beaten by hateful men, he was begging for the Lord to forgive them. He was forgiving them. He was their well-wisher. That is tolerance. So it are these qualities that actually please Krishna. So these are the qualities we should try to be cultivating through our sadhana, through the chanting of the holy names, through the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, through worshipping the deity, and through performing seva, prayer. Very important. This churns the heart, removes the impurities, and makes the heart very soft. And when Krishna sees we really want our heart to be soft, then he steals our hearts. And when Krishna steals our hearts, then nothing of this material world can any longer distract us. Sri Rupa Goswami offers that very beautiful prayer. If you are attached to your position in this world, family, friendship, wealth, love, so-called love, if you are attached to these temporary things, then a warning, do not go to Keshi Ghat on bank of Jamuna, because there is Krishna, Govinda, standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. When you experience the beauty, the charm, and the love of Krishna, then nothing of this world can charm the heart anymore, because he is Hari. He steals our heart. So gopis, they actually put their heart into preparing their butter. The butter was their heart. The expression of their heart. They put their heart into that butter with the hope and the prayer that Krishna would come and steal their hearts. And Krishna always fulfills the innermost desires of his devotees. Thus, Makanchor. Such a beautiful, beautiful pastime of the Lord. Such deep, profound reciprocation of love. Such a glorious philosophy behind this apparently very simple and innocent lila. The greatest scholars and acharyas have pondered upon, reflected on, and written exhaustive commentaries on Krishna's stealing of butter. Sometimes Krishna would just speak the truth. I am not a thief, you are a thief. Because everything belongs to him. In fact, our hearts belong to him. When he steals our hearts, he's reclaiming his property. Anything that is not used in the service of Krishna, that is stealing. That is the cause of all bondage and suffering. That simple elementary forgetfulness that everything is for Krishna. So Yashoda Mai immersed in motherly affection simply wanted Krishna's happiness. So on this early morning she wanted to finish churning the butter so it would be fully prepared by the time Lord Sri Krishna would wake up from his bed. And she was pulling the ropes in the churning rod. And while she was doing that, she was singing beautiful, loving songs of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's qualities. Because in Vrindavan, there's only one topic, Krishna. He would perform his leelas one day, and the next day, everyone would simply be talking about what he did the day before. This is their eternal lives, just talking about Krishna's every activity. Every little thing he did was so attractive to everyone's hearts. They couldn't but glorify it, talk about it, share that nectar with each other. In the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, it was a tradition. At night, reading Krishna book. And during the day, the next day, everyone would ask, what do you remember? And everyone would speak, either a whole story or one little thing, just to remind people about Krishna. After all, that's the ultimate conclusion of whatever we do, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. The association of devotees is to show love for one another by facilitating, helping to always remember Krishna. So Yashoda Mai was singing beautiful songs about the beauty, the charming qualities, and the all-attractive pastimes of her little baby Gopal, singing his glories. And as she was churning her bangles, very beautiful bangles, they are people. In Vrindavan, everything is personal. Nothing is impersonal. Even the bangles, tadiya, they are the paraphernalia of a devotee. As she was singing, the bangles were dancing together. They were like musical instrument, something like kartals, keeping beat, keeping rhythm to instrumentalize her singing. In this way, there was a very sweet kirtan. She was wearing a bright yellow sari. And as she was churning, the malati flowers that were in her hair began to fall to her feet. Because these malati flowers were thinking amongst themselves, just see her love. Just hear the quality of her love. How dear Krishna is to her and how dear she is to Krishna. What is our position to be on her head? We should take shelter of her lotus feet. So with this meditation, the flowers jumped from her hair and fell upon her lotus feet to find shelter. Immersed in the meditation on Gopal, her breast began to flow with the milk of her motherly love. Krishna was woken up by that flow of milk, and he became very hungry. Yashoda Mai was offering that milk spontaneously out of her love, and Krishna was longing to taste it. This is the supreme understanding of the absolute truth, how he longs to taste the sweetness of his devotee's love. He hungers for that love. So Krishna came running into the room and began to pull Yashoda Mai's sari. And she was continuing to do her churning and singing, and she was looking at her little boy with such affection. When Gopal saw that she wasn't satisfying his desire, he became very firm. He grabbed on to the churning rod and would not allow her to continue her churning. He was indirectly speaking philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Holding on that little churning rod, what was really happening is he was indirectly telling Yashoda, Sarva dharman puritya ja mam ekam shadadam puritya. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masucha. Should abandon all varieties of dharma and just give me your milk. Surrender to me. When I'm personally here, standing before you, then there should be no other duty for you to perform than to satisfy me. Then he crawled right up her body. And Yashoda Mai was so happy. Right into her arms he went. And she sat down and began to feed her little Gopal with the nectarine ambrosial love of her heart in the form of her milk. And Krishna was so satisfied. Meanwhile, on the stove, Yashoda Mai was cooking Padmaganda milk. This is very, very rare milk. The sweetest milk in all of creation. And every drop of it was only for Krishna. Nobody else got that Padmaganda milk. It was reserved exclusively for Krishna. So the milk witnessed how Krishna is drinking the milk of Yashoda. And the milk was thinking that Yashoda Mai's love is unlimited. Therefore, her milk, which is her love, is unlimited. And Krishna's love for Yashoda is unlimited. So he's just going to drink her milk for the rest of eternity. Who are we? What is our hope? If he doesn't accept our service, we have no reason to live. We will end our lives by jumping in fire. And with this conclusion, they jumped out of the pot into the fire. Apparently, it appeared that the milk was overflowing from boiling. So Yashoda Mai wanted to protect that milk for Krishna. She placed Krishna down and ran to retrieve the milk. Krishna became very angry. How is it that she has put any priority above pleasing me? Of course, she was doing it to please him. But Krishna wanted to not only perform this ras with his mother, but he wanted to show the world. There is no priority a devotee should have above satisfying Krishna. Not according to our interpretation, according to Krishna's desire. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. That is why the scriptures declare tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchate. It's very essential we have guru, sadhu, shastra. Otherwise, how do we really know what Krishna wants? And how do we just impose our own desires, our own egos, or our own misconceptions on the will of Krishna? So many people have their opinions, even so much fighting going on about how to serve Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, if you want to please Krishna, you please Guru. If Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. If Guru is not pleased, Krishna is not pleased. So if we do not know, we ask. Rather than just fighting, we ask, what pleases you, Guru Maharaj? That should be our only priority in life. What pleases Krishna? Krishna bit his lip and trembled. Why my mother has made a priority above feeding me? Ah. So Gopal wanted to create some mischief. He took the stone that was used for grinding spices and he wanted to show that you could use many things for the highest purpose. So he took that stone and broke the butter pot that Yashoda Mai was churning and began to eat the butter. And it spilled all around. But he wanted to do something extra. So he went into the next room. And there he saw a butter pot with yesterday's butter. Very fully churned, very nectarine from the Padmaganda cows. It was hanging from ropes from the ceiling. So he took a wooden grinding mortar and he turned it upside down and climbed onto it and reached the butter pot. And he was sitting on the grinding mortar, eating the butter. Then he called the monkeys of Braj. Monkeys came. Oh, it was a wonderful mahotsav. He was personally, with his own hands, throwing butter toward the monkeys. And they were jumping and they were dancing and they were eating, eating, eating. Can you imagine what a feast this was for the monkeys to get the Padmaganda butter from Krishna's lotus hand? What an exalted position to be a monkey of Braj. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, after saving the milk, she came back to finish feeding Krishna. And he was gone. There was a broken pot. She understood immediately who has done. But she didn't know, where is Krishna? So Yashoda Mai, being very intelligent, she knew how to track him down. There was tiny little yogurt footprints, butter footprints, and she just followed those footprints into the next room. And there, from a secret place, she was watching as Gopal was feeding monkeys butter. As she approached with a stick in her hand, the monkey saw her and they fled. The whole while Krishna was feeding them, Yashoda Mai was very pleased to see how fearful he was. Although he was enjoying nice pastimes with monkeys, he was always looking around. His eyes were moving like very, very quickly in different directions to see if mother was coming. And when she was just behind him, he saw her and jumped off the wooden grinding mortar and ran. Yashoda Mai ran after him. He was running and she was running. How could anyone catch the absolute truth? He's faster than the fastest. The jnanis, with the speed of their incredible minds, can never catch Krishna. The yogis, who could even travel to other planets within moments by their siddhis, they can never catch Krishna. Even the great demigods, with all of their supernatural powers, they are unable to catch Krishna. But Yashoda Mai was attempting to catch Krishna. Krishna was running. She was chasing. Her sari was loosening. Whatever flowers remained on her hair, according to commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, there were different groups of flowers. Some were on Krishna's side and some were on Yashoda's side. They all jumped off onto the ground for different reasons. Those on Krishna's side were thinking that she wants to punish him. I don't want to cooperate or be a part of this. I don't want to be a conspirator to punish Krishna. I'll have nothing to do with this. I refuse. So they jumped off her hair onto the floor. And others were on Yashoda's side. They were thinking, Krishna's very fast, and maybe our weight is slowing Yashoda down. So if we jump off, then she'll be lighter and she'll be able to catch less burden. So all the flowers were jumping from her hair into the floor as she was chasing after Gopal. Ultimately, it is Krishna's ultimate satisfaction to be conquered by his devotee. Yashoda Mai caught him by the hand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu often revealed his heart to his own devotees. He explained to Haridas Thakur that I am eternally a prisoner in your heart. Krishna's free will is he becomes the prisoner of love. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares that he is the controller of the three modes of material nature. He never comes under the influence of any of his own energies, material energy. Daiviyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. In this material world, everyone is bound by these three modes of material nature. Some acharyas translate the word guna as quality. Others translate the word guna as rope. The gunas are like ropes. Goodness, passion, and ignorance that keep us bound to the cycle of karmic reaction, keep us bound to the repetition of birth and death. And those ropes are impossible to sever. We cannot untie ourselves from those ropes. Only by the mercy of Krishna coming through his devotees can he release us. He's the giver of liberation. If he's eternally free, and he could free even the most sinful from their bondage, how could he be bound by anything? But he is a prisoner of the love of his devotee. Krishna explains that he has no power to escape the heart of those who love him. Yashoda Mai, by her Vatsalya Prem, caught Krishna. She was holding her stick. Gopal was very much afraid. Was he pretending to be afraid? He was actually afraid. This is the opulence of Vrindavan. Although Queen Kunti, she meditated on this pastime with great wonder. It's something that even the greatest scholars and jnanis cannot fathom. Because of our association with Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, it's very easy and natural for us to accept these truths. But when you think about it, it's inconceivable. According to third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fear personified. That means the source of all fear, the embodiment of all fear, is afraid of Krishna. Now, we all have had situations in our life where we were overcome by fear. Yes? That's just a tiny little particle of a drop from the ocean of the personification of fear. And even one little drop, one little part and parcel of fear can completely disrupt a person's life and make them mad. The whole world is manipulated and controlled by fear. The greatest expenditure of practically every nation of the world is in defense. What is defense? Fear. We need security. We need stability because we're fearful. The whole medical industry is fear. Fear of suffering disease. Billions of dollars. The whole cosmetic industry, it's simply based on fear. Fear that I don't look, fear that my lips and my face doesn't look proper. So we have to put all different types of disguises out of fear that we will not be attractive. The whole fashion industry is really motivated by fear. Fear that we won't look good. We won't fit in our social scene. People won't whistle at us and take photos of us. This is a very fearful situation for famous people. There was one famous movie actress of America. She said, whether they talk good about me or bad about me, it doesn't matter as long as they're talking about me. And actually, she was really afraid. And when people stopped talking about her, she committed suicide. Ready, go. So much fear. Motivation. Why do we wear a watch? Because we're afraid of being late. Why do we eat? Because we're afraid of being hungry. Our tongue is afraid of not getting satisfaction. Our belly is afraid of not getting its satisfaction. So really, when you look, practically your whole life is very much hinged on fear. Underlying even innocent enjoyments is fear. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of being defeated. Business people, one of their greatest motivations is fear. Fear of failure. They'll work so hard. Fear of somebody else being better than them. Fear of being put out of business. That's why they're in their cars, and that's why they're in their trains, out of fear of not having what they think they need. So how powerful is fear? And Kunti says, fear personified, the complete embodiment of all fear, is petrified with fear of Krishna. That is Krishna. Hiranyakashipu, he was so powerful. Just by lifting his eyebrow, all the demigods would come falling at his feet in fear. The winds and the rains would just obey his command just by his lifting his eyebrow. Now everyone try it. Lift your eyebrow and see what see what universal influences you have. Nobody cares anything for your eyebrow. But Hiranyakashipu was so much fear. The entire universe was afraid of him. But what happened when he saw Lord Narasimhadev? His heart was plagued with unlimited fear. And Narasimhadev is just a plenary portion of a portion of Gopal, who is caught by Yashoda and is trembling in fear. Tears! Tear! Fear tear was flowing from his eyes. His limbs were trembling. His lips were quivering. His heart was beating very, very fast. And his breathing was very quick. All the symptoms of utter fear were manifested on baby Gopal. And with a quivering voice, he said through Yashoda Mai, "Please put down your stick. Don't punish me, please. I promise I will never do it again." Yashoda Mai didn't like to see Krishna so fearful. She threw her stick away. She said, "Oh, friend of monkeys, why are you doing like this?" Now, if you're in legal trouble and you're brought to court, if you want mercy from the judge, even in some courtroom scenes, Mahaprabhu, I don't know if they do it in India, but when you plead guilty, what it's called is pleading for mercy. Yes? In America, they say like this. A guilty plea is a plea of mercy, plea for mercy. If you say, "I didn't do it," and then it's proven that you've done it, then the judge and the jury and the prosecutors are very angry that not only has this person done the crime, but the person's a liar. Huh? People don't like liars. "I've made a mistake. I'm sorry. I did it. I'll never do it again, judge. Please be merciful." We confess because we want mercy. That is a very important part of the Catholic Church. They have their confession booths. If you perform sins and you're actually repentant, it is believed in the Catholic Church, when you confess, when you actually confess your sins to an authority, then you get mercy, the mercy that can forgive you from those sins. So here's Krishna. He's so afraid of Yashoda that he's confessing. He's pleading for mercy. "Yes, mother, yes, I did steal the butter. Please, please, I'll never do it again. Don't hurt me." Bhishma, greatest of all the warriors, at the moment of his disappearance, of course this came later, he was remembering Krishna, the conqueror of everyone. He showed his universal form to Arjuna, one of the greatest Kshatriyas in all of creation, and Arjuna was shaking in fear when he saw the Virat Rupa. But the source of Virat Rupa is shaking in fear of Yashoda Mai, who doesn't have bows and arrows. She's a mother, a gopi. That is the power of love. Yashoda Mai wanted to prepare prasad for Krishna. It was Diwali. She wanted to do something special for Krishna. So she had chores to be done. And she was very much frightened that my Krishna is so mischievous. What will happen if I leave him alone? So she decided to bind him with silken rope, the same rope that's used to bind the calves so that they don't drink the milk of the mother. Sometimes they even use these ropes to tie the back legs of cow so that the cows don't kick. I have told you the story. After reading Krishna book, I was living in a community where we had cows, New Vrindavan. And that was my service for about 2 years, just milking cows. And those American cows from European breeds, they're not so gentle and sattvic like Indian cows. Because after all, people of the West are more passionate, and cows of the West are also more passionate. They're very big, very strong, very strong. The cows in America are like bigger than bulls in India. Really? You have seen these Holsteins and Brown Swiss and Guernseys, very big cows. And they kick. And when they kick, they kick. You have to see it to believe it. They're huge, giant legs and big hooves. And they want, some cows, they just want, if they're in any way disturbed about anything, they try to kick the bucket over while you're milking them. You're milking, and all of a sudden, Their hoof just goes whoop, right into the bucket, right, stuck right in it, full with. They usually wait till it's just full with milk, and then they just throw it, and all the milk goes flying. And if the cowherd boy tries to stop it, the cowherd boy flies it with the milk. That happened many times to me. They get kicked in the head. Kicked in the arm, kicked in the leg. Ready? You have to surrender to milk those cows. So we figured out ways of blocking the kicks. It's actually, should I tell you the science? Yeah. If you go against the kick, if you try to stop the kick, you're finished. Because their leg is more powerful than all of your limbs put together. You can't stop it. You have to flow with it. You actually have to surrender to the kick. Because they go back, and that's where they get all their power. And when they start coming forward, then it's too late. So as soon as they go back, you have to go right back into it with it. At the beginning, it's a calculated risk. Because no one taught us. We had to figure this. They bring it up. And when they bring it up, you just go right up there with it. So their leg's up in the air, and they have no strength to bring it down because you're right there. Once they bring it down, then it's unstoppable. So then you're just up there, and they're fighting, and you're just... And then gradually they realize that this kick is not going to work, so they bring it down gently. But it's dangerous. So we got Krishna book, and we read how the gopas would have rope around their shoulder. Yes? Prabhupada explains the description of Krishna and Balaram and the gopas when they go out into the pasture grounds of Brajbhumi. They're decorated so many nice ways. Even though their mothers decorate them with chandan The gopas prefer their own decorations. They just get the minerals from the ground and add Jamuna water or some water from Kund to the minerals of the ground, and then they make nice colors and decorate each other with. And they take the feathers of the peacocks and decorate their turbans and their hairs. And each cowherd boy has bugle, buffalo horn. And they also have flute, usually tucked in their cloth belt. And each cowherd boy has a stick and a rope around their shoulder for tying the rear legs of the cows so they can't kick when they milk. That's the answer. That's the solution. The highest technology of Vedic culture we have just discovered. We'll never be kicked again. All we have to do is just get some nice rope, keep it on our shoulders, and when it's time to milk, we just tie up the rear legs. Yes? Sounds easy, doesn't it? It sounds very easy. Now I will reveal to you the practical application. The name of the cow was Himavati. She was huge. In fact, when I first saw her, she was at the end of the Goshala. She was a black and white cow. When I first saw her, I looked at the wall and I thought that someone painted the wall black and white. Then I was looking. The wall was painted black and white. Then I saw the wall moving. I was thinking, there's no earthquakes in West Virginia. How is the wall moving? Then I started looking and I saw the wall had a head. It was Himavati. She was gigantic. There's a famous photograph of Srila Prabhupada where he's looking at her milk bag from the back. The milk bag was this. I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes you may think I exaggerate, but this time I'm not exaggerating. Literally was this big up and down. Have you ever seen like this in India? And it was about this wide. Jayadwaita Maharaj probably saw Himavati. She was giving at her peak 140 pounds of milk a day. And when Prabhupada saw her milk bag, there's a photo where he has his cane and he's poking her milk bag just to see if it was real. He was poking her milk bag with his cane, and Prabhupada's eyes looked like Lord Jagannath's eyes. They were very wide, very wide. Prabhupada was astounded. He asked, how much milk? He poked the milk bag and then he said, how much milk? And when he found out, his eyes went like that. He was very happy. So she's a big cow. But she also kicked. So, Krishna book. Now we're going to be like the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. And we're going to stop the problem of kicking. And we tied her two legs together very nicely with nice rope. And she did not appreciate that at all. Are you sure you want to hear the rest of the story? She did not like this rope tying technology. She was not a Surabhi cow of Braj, obviously. But she was serving Krishna. With all of her strength, she kicked both of her legs simultaneously backward. And you know what happened? She fell She immediately fell on top of me. She weighed tons. And I only weigh 53 kgs. The milk bucket, all the milk. I was actually, I won't say Abhi Shake, but I was covered with milk. All the milk just flew up all over my body, and I was laying there, and she was laying on top of me, and she couldn't get up. And I couldn't get out. Anyways, we never, ever, ever try to imitate the Cowherd boys again. We try to follow in their footsteps. You cannot imitate the great souls. So Yashoda Mai took the rope to tie the calf so he doesn't drink the milk of the mother, because that's considered mischievous for calf. So Krishna was going to be like Yashoda Mai's calf, tied with rope. But similar to Himavati, he didn't want to be tied either. So she took the rope, and she was going to tie him around the grinding mortar. Some of the acharyas say because the grinding wooden mortar was actually an accomplice of his stealing butter. It was part of his paraphernalia. Uru Kala, yes? Kala means a rogue. So Mother Yashoda was very upset that Krishna was associating with this rogue, Uru Kala. So she was going to tie them both up. But when she went to tie around Krishna's waist, it was two fingers too short. This was a great mystery. She brought more silken rope and tied that to the original rope. When she put it around Krishna's waist, it was exactly two fingers too small. More rope was tied. Again, it was two fingers too small. Soon all the gopis of Vrindavan started coming, at least the neighbor gopis. And they were all bringing whatever rope they had in their household. And Yashoda Mai was taking one rope after another, all different color ropes, and tying it together. And every time, it was two fingers too short. The gopis were laughing and laughing and laughing. It was actually a festival of ropes. There was piles and piles of ropes, and she was taking more and more and tying it. And it was exactly two fingers too short. The inconceivable, amazing mystery of this pastime is, although the ropes were growing, Krishna's waist didn't grow at all. It remained exactly the same. It's not like he was Trivikram, Vamanadeva, expanding himself. That's the opulence of Krishna. For Vamanadeva to achieve doing something that takes a gigantic form, he had to expand his form to a gigantic size. But Krishna, who is the source of all opulences and the source of all incarnations, he could be bigger than the biggest and still remain smaller than the smallest. He doesn't have to bother growing. Inconceivable. Achintya. Plus, everything is within Krishna. For Krishna, nothing could be outside of him. She was trying to tie the rope outside of him. Simply impossible. He's the absolute truth. Krishna's unlimited. Krishna's all-pervading. And he was revealing these aspects without even changing his original form. This is Gopal. What a miracle. Yashoda Mai was working so hard for Krishna's protection, tying rope after rope after rope. She was perspiring. Shukadeva Goswami describes what a beautiful scene this was. Her perspiration were like beads of amrita, of nectarine devotion in her efforts to show her motherly love to Gopal. Gopal decided he wanted to show the world he is Bhaktivatsal. Not only is protector of the devotee, but he's subordinate to the love of his devotee. In Damodarastakam, Satyavrat Muni prays in this way, I do not desire elevation to Vaikuntha. I do not desire the 8 mystic cities, the wealth of the heavens, or even liberation. I only want these childhood pastimes of Lord Damodar to be forever enacted within my heart. Gopal agreed by his own sweet will to be defeated by the love of his mother, to be bound by the rope of her affection. After she tied him up, she went to perform her chores for Krishna's seva. But Gopal wanted to do something ever more mischievous now. But he also protects the word of his devotee. There were 2 trees, Arjun trees, that were standing for long, long time in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the history of these trees. The treasurer of devatas, Kuver, has tremendous opulences. He's one of the principal of the demigods. To be the son of Kuvera is very prestigious, high birth. His 2 sons had incredible physical beauty, wealth, strength, fame, very learned, and very proud. It is the tendency, when we have material opulences, we become proud and we think we could do anything. So one day they were enjoying in a lake, in a heavenly place, with beautiful young girls, heavenly girls. They were bathing naked in the lake. The great sage Narada happened to be coming by that day. And the ladies, they were very much embarrassed that here's a great sannyasi, and we're naked. So they got out very fast and put their clothes on and offered their respects. But this Manigriva and Nalakuvera didn't even bother to show the slightest respect to Narada Muni because they were intoxicated by false pride. And Narada Muni saw that they're the children of devotee, Kuvera. And false pride is such a deadly enemy to the spirit of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada explains that when people are in poverty, they're not so suspicious of others. Any sadhu that comes around, they're happy if they come in their house to bless. I remember Srila Prabhupada, when he would go through wealthy neighborhoods, there was gates and electrical security devices and big signs, no trespassings, trespassers will be prosecuted, and big, big guard dogs. was polluting the neighborhood with all these horrible barking sounds to scare any intruders away. Because they're afraid that people want to take what they have. But poor people just, please come in. So having too much potentially could be a very, very great impediment, because you won't get the mercy of the great souls. Not only are you protecting yourself against the robbers and the thieves, but you're also protecting yourselves against mercy. And when you have too much, Queen Kunti explained, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir Edamana Madapuma. High birth, high education, physical beauty, wealth has a tendency to make us proud. Then we cannot chant the name of the God, of the Lord, with feeling. So Narada Muni wanted to give a benediction to them, and he cursed them to become trees. Prabhupada explains, you like to stand naked? All right, stand naked. For hundreds and hundreds of years, you'll never put on clothes. Be trees. Hare Krishna. But because he was Narada Muni, with every curse is a blessing. Because he's ultimately, he only wants their welfare. So they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. They had to wait a long time till Krishna's appearance. But it was worth it. They had the same consciousness as demigods in the helpless bodies of trees. They couldn't move, they couldn't speak, but they could watch Krishna's leelas. So Krishna wanted to make the mercy of Narada Muni come true. That is his love. So he crawled, effortlessly crawled, and pulled the heavy wooden grinding mortar behind him. He crawled right between the trees. The grinding mortar got stuck between them, and he pulled. The trees uprooted right out of the ground and fell to the ground. Incredible. And as they came out, two effulgent celestial beings emanated from the roots of the tree. It was Manigriva and Nalakuvera. They had become completely purified, completely immersed in remembering Krishna's pastimes by the mercy of Narada. They offered beautiful prayers and expressed what a curse it was for them to have all these opulences, because it made them proud. But the mercy of a devotee is he uproots that pride. So Krishna blessed them. And ultimately, they became, in Nanda Maharaja's court, in the spiritual world, they are always singing the glories of Krishna's pastimes. Manigriva Nalakuvera. That was the eternal liberation they received in Goloka Vrindavan, where they're always in the court of Nanda Maharaj. In fact, Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami, many of the stories are narrated. Jiva Goswami is writing down what Manigriva and Nalakuvera in their spiritual forms are narrating to Nanda Maharaj about Krishna's leelas. Such a benediction. But the sound of those trees crashing to the ground was so tumultuous. Everyone in Vrindavan came running to the scene, and there was Nanda Maharaj seeing Krishna between the two trees. Just fractions of inches on either side of him, the trees have fallen. How is he saved from this calamity? Some little children said, we saw, Krishna pulled the trees down. But the adults could not believe. How is this possible? These trees were gigantic. But then again, this boy is extraordinary. So Nanda Maharaj untied the knot and held Krishna in his arms. And Yashoda Mai came running, and she felt so guilty. Just see the imminent disaster that could have happened because I tied him up. But Krishna would not look at her. He would not look upon her. He was finding shelter in Nanda Maharaja's arms. Krishna, when Yashoda Mai would be angry at Krishna, he would find shelter at Nanda. Actually, it is explained that when Yashoda Mai was trying to tie up Krishna, Krishna was looking for Nanda Maharaj for shelter. Now he was in the shelter of Nanda's arms. Yashoda Mai felt so guilty. She began to cry. And when Krishna realized the pain in the heart of his devotee, he jumped in her arms. She embraced him and fed him the milk from her breast, which was the original reason that he performed this whole pastime. In the end, he achieved his desire, the nectarine loving milk of Yashoda Mai, to taste the sweetness of her love. And therefore his name is Damodar, one who is bound around the waist by the rope of the love of his dear devotee. During this wonderful month of Damodar, let us ponder the gift that Srila Prabhupada has so munificently bestowed upon all of us. He has given us entrance into this highest abode of pure spiritual love. And the entrance is simple. If with humility and a deep desire to serve, if we can simply chant Krishna's holy names. Thank you very much. As Brajhari Prabhu's puppet, I started and tried to speak what he said. He told me to speak till 10 o'clock. So now I am no right to speak another word. I wish to thank everyone very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Das Bihari ji ki.